Chapter 5 Great Expectations. Mrs. Joe lay in bed for a very long time, and even when she started to get better, she could not speak. She could write a little, but her writing was never very good, and Joe, of course, could not read. She could do nothing in the house, so Biddy came to live with us to cook and look after my sister. Sometimes Mrs. Joe drew pictures to show what she wanted, and Biddy became very good at understanding these. Several times my sister drew a picture that looked like a letter T. It was Biddy who understood.
"It's a blacksmith's hammer," she said. "She doesn't want Joe because she always writes a letter J for him. She must want Orlick."
For some time, I had thought that Orlick was the person who had attacked my sister. Of course, Mrs. Joe had argued with everybody in the village, but she had argued with him that day, and he had been very angry with her. I was sure that the shackle that hit her was from my prisoner. Perhaps Orlick had found it on the marshes. When Orlick came into Mrs. Joe's room, I wondered if she was going to show us that he had attacked her. But she smiled at him. After that, she wanted to see him every day. Biddy and I spent a lot of time together now, in the kitchen or walking on the marshes. I often talked to her about Miss Havisham and Estella.
"I don't want to be a blacksmith all of my life. I want to be a gentleman," I told Biddy one day when we were walking together. "Then maybe Estella will like me as much as I like her."
"I don't think that's a good idea," said Biddy. "I think that if you stay as you are, you'll be happier. Don't try to be what you're not."
We walked past the church, and there was Orlick staring at us.
"I don't like that man," said Biddy. "He's always looking at me and following me."
"I don't like him looking at you either," I said.
I watched Orlick carefully after that. Every year I visited Miss Havisham. She always gave me a pound and told me to come back again on my next birthday. One Saturday night, 4 birthdays later, Joe and I were in the pub with Mr. Wopsle when a stranger came in.
"I'm looking for a blacksmith, Mr. Gargery," he told the landlord.
"That's me," said Joe.
"And you've got an apprentice whose name is Pip."
"That's me," I said.
I suddenly realised that I knew this man. He was the large man with dark skin and a bald head that I had met on the stairs at Satis House many years before.
"I need to talk to both of you," said the man. "Shall we go to your house?"
We walked home and sat down in the living room. Mrs. Joe and Biddy were in the kitchen.
"My name," said the man, "is Jaggers, and I'm a lawyer in London. I'm working for another person who is giving you a lot of money, Mr. Pip. You have got great expectations, and you must move to London and become a gentleman. Do you want to be a gentleman?"
"I have always wanted to," I said.
My heart was suddenly going very fast. Did Miss Havisham want me to be a gentleman so that I was good enough for Estella?
"You must understand," continued Mr. Jaggers, "that I'm paid to work for the person who's giving you these great expectations. You cannot know your benefactor's name, and you must never ask. It must be a secret. One day, this person will tell you who they are. Until then, you'll get your money from me every month, and I'll be your guardian. Do you agree to this?
I do.
Mr. Gargery, said Mr. Jaggers, you're losing your apprentice. Do you want any money to let him go?
I don't want any money for Pip, said Joe. He's been my best friend ever since he came to the forge.
I could see that Mr. Jaggers thought that Joe was a fool. He turned to me.
If you're going to become a gentleman, Mr. Pip, he said, you'll need a teacher in London. I suggest that you go to Mr. Matthew Pocket. Do you know him?
I knew the name. I knew that Matthew Pocket was one of Miss Havisham's cousins, although he never visited her.
Now, Mr. Pip, you must come to London next week. This is my address, said Mr. Jaggers, giving me a card. You must come to my office first. I'll find you somewhere to live. Good evening to both of you.
He left the house quickly.
Well, Pip, said Joe, great expectations. We must tell Biddy.
We went into the kitchen and told Biddy the news. She, like Joe, was very happy for me, but I felt there was sadness too. Things had changed, and they could never change back. The next day, Sunday, I went for a walk and fell asleep by the river. I woke up to find Joe sitting next to me.
As it's the last time, he said, I thought I'd follow you.
I'm glad you did, I said. You can be sure, Joe, that I'll never forget you.
I know that, said Joe.
I'm a little sorry, I said, that you didn't go to school.
I don't know, Pip, he said. I know I'm not clever. I'm a good blacksmith, that's all. I don't think more learning would make any difference.
What I meant was that when I became a gentleman, I might want to help Joe. And when I helped him, it would be better if he was not so rough and uneducated. But Joe did not understand me. I decided to talk to Biddy about it when I went out for a walk with her later.
While I'm away, Biddy, can you help Joe a little? I said. I mean, with his reading and his manners.
His manners? Repeated Biddy.
Well, I said, his manners are fine for the forge and the village, but when I'm a gentleman, I'll want to help him move to a better place. His manners aren't right for that.
Do you think he doesn't know that? Asked Biddy. Have you ever thought that Joe might be proud?
Proud?
Yes, he fits very well in this place. He's good at his job, and people here like him and think well of him. Maybe he's too proud to move to another place where people will think he's common.
I was very cross with Biddy for saying this.
I think you're jealous of my good luck, Biddy, I told her, and walked away.
It made me very unhappy that even with my great expectations, I felt so lonely and confused. On Friday, I went to Satis House. I was sure that my benefactor was Miss Havisham, and I wanted to show her that I was grateful. Again, the door was opened by Sarah Pocket.
"What do you want?" she asked.
"I'm going to London," I told her. "I want to say goodbye to Miss Havisham."
"So," said Miss Havisham when Sarah Pocket took me to her, "I've heard from my lawyer, Mr. Jaggers, that you have got great expectations."
"Yes, and I'm very grateful for them," I replied.
Sarah Pocket gave me a jealous look.
"You don't know who your benefactor is," said Miss Havisham.
"No."
"And Mr. Jaggers is your guardian?"
"Yes."
"Well, goodbye, Pip."
I left home early the next morning. Saying goodbye to Joe was hard, and on the road out of the village, I was crying like a baby. In the town, I took the coach to London. A whole new world lay before me.